You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down, until humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems.
Now listen, Grapehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
We can duck and cover. There's a fallout shelter right
there. There's no way to survive this, you idiot!
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
All the time in Idiocracy, and we're experiencing that right now. This is the John and Gordy in the morning show in the afternoon, filling in for Maggie Dawn, and it's a very good afternoon. Mm-hmm. I hope in your area as well. You know, I still live along the lakefront in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And we had different weather.
Well, sure, you're close to the lake there.
So well, it's always effect something.
Yeah.
It's always either fog or lots of snow or no snow at all. Or
lots of clouds, yeah. A little bit of breeze once in a while.
It's crazy down there in Bayview.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, here in Madison, where we're located at the Civic Media headquarters, it's beautiful sunshine this afternoon.
Right on State Street.
Yeah, it's great. Looking good out there. Phone lines are back open, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Want to mention, after this show, Dom Salvia will be in, and it'll be a contest hour for the text to win, break into spring statewide contest, and you have chances four times a day, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m., the contest hours where we reveal keywords. And daily prizes include a fantastic Chula Vista getaway. Also, we've got Milwaukee Brewer club-level tickets or $100 cash. So listen to Dom in our next hour, the 4 o'clock hour, and he'll give you another chance to win. Of course, any entry goes toward your entries go into the grand prize drawing, a brand-new queen-size mattress set from Verlo Mattress. So enter as many times as you like. And again, it's the statewide break in the spring text to win contest here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, your next chance to win during the 4 o'clock hour with Dom Salvia.
All right.
And coming up in about a half hour, Mike McCabe will join us, a great author and Substack blogger. He'll be in a little bit after, 3:35.
Yep. And we'll be talking about the state of the economy.
Ha, ha, ha. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
really,
really great stuff. You know, I'm watching the Stubbe guy from Florida.
Oh,
Senator
CNN,
Stubbe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look at his hair. It's all greasy.
That's what is the look
it?
Now.
Are the Republicans going with the greasy kid stuff?
Well, they like the product, I guess. You know, that's up to them. I mean, you know.
All right.
You know, to each their own.
Back to the 50s, I guess. All right. Idiocracy, let's get to one of the weirdest stories. Republican lawmakers in Michigan are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to hear their case to deem voter-approved election law changes as unconstitutional.
What?
Including the creation of an independent citizen-led redistricting commission, not a bad idea. Or how about as well as same-day voter registration in Michigan? Or no reason absentee voting and 9 days of early voting.
Wow.
The voters in Michigan voted all that stuff into their state constitution, and the Republican lawmakers are angry. They want them all repealed and changed. They said it was wrong. It's incorrect. They can't do it. Mm. Let's listen to the audio on this. All right. This is from a local TV station. 236.
Republican lawmakers in Michigan are asking the Supreme Court to declare several voter-approved election laws in our state unconstitutional. We have David Horak here with which reforms this lawsuit covers. Good morning.
Good morning, Teresa. The 11 Republicans, in which six of them are from our side of the state, argue that Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson violated their constitutional rights by enforcing voter-approved laws from both 2018 and 2022. The laws in question include automatic voter registration, no reason absentee voting, and a commission that redraws district boundaries. The Republicans argue that these citizen-passed measures violate the election section of the U.S. Constitution, which does state the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. William Wagner, a co-counsel on the petition, argues, quote, this case is about whether the people's representatives can speak on their behalf in response to blatant violations of the U.S. Constitution by state officials, close quote. Now, Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson condemned the lawsuit, saying, quote, Michigan voters have a right to enact laws that reflect their values, and politicians have a duty to stand by the will of the voters. The idea that the time, place, and manner of federal elections lawmaking is beyond the right of voters to self-determine is anti-democratic. And already multiple courts have reaffirmed this under law, close quote. Matter of fact, a lower court dismissed their case against those petitions last year for lack of standing, but now they appear to be appealing to the nation's highest court.
Of course they are. You know, what else would they do, right?
Yeah.
Go to the sure thing.
Go the to
six
the Supreme
activist
Court.
Justices, yes. Mm. Now, here's the thing. The odd part of this is that the people's representatives don't want to represent the people.
They don't. What's
essentially,
the matter?
Right? Right? These are the people's representatives.
Right?
They don't want to represent the people.
Apparently not.
Again, these were overwhelmingly put into place on the state constitution by the voters. These are amendments to the constitution they approved by wide margins. And they want to take all of this stuff away. And I know that in one court case in this, the judge basically said, well, do you have an alternative? Are you looking at alternatives for these passed amendments to the constitution? And they don't have a choice. They don't know what they want to do. They're just opposing this, and they want them off the state constitution. Now, that's kind of interesting, because we always think that if you put something on the state constitution, it's going to be there for a long, long time.
Yes.
These guys going to the Supreme Court of our land. Good luck with that, folks.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see where that goes. Okay.
All right. Now, this is kind of a weird one here. This is Alex Witt, anchor, and she was looking at the latest outbreak of bird flu, you know, and what's happening out there. But RFK Jr. happened to have an interesting comment on this. So let's play cut 242 and check out what's happening with the bird flu and the price of eggs and everything else that's related to it.
All right, here we go.
So right now, the biggest outbreak of bird flu in U.S. history is sweeping across this country, leaving millions of hens dead. And consumers are starting to feel it, too, as egg prices skyrocket to unbelievable highs. Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. had this to say about the ongoing outbreak.
It's dangerous for human beings to vaccinate the birds. You should let the disease go through them and identify the birds that survive, which are the birds that probably have a genetic inclination for immunity.
Joining me now is NBC National reporter Susie Kim. So, Susie, what has been the reaction to Secretary RFK Jr.'s comments?
Yeah, what is
His comments have really produced a strong reaction from the folks who are working in public health, who are working to protect animal health. We're trying to stop this disease from devastating poultry farms and farmers' livelihoods across the country. This has proved to be an extremely financially and psychologically devastating virus for folks who are working in the poultry industry, obviously with impacts for consumers, but it's also a serious concern for public health experts who don't want to see this virus continue to spread and continue to mutate potentially into a strain that could prove far more dangerous to humans than we're seeing right now. About 167 million birds have been affected since 2022. That has been a huge financial blow to poultry farmers. The federal government does not compensate farmers for birds who already died before federal officials arrive. They don't compensate for lost revenue. For Cockadoodle Farm, this Illinois farm that I visited just the other week, that meant $100,000 in lost revenue that they are not getting back.
Are health officials concerned this could turn into another pandemic?
public health experts, including the CDC, agree that the risk to humans is low. But yes, the concern is that as this virus continues to spread and continues to jump, not just, it's moved from poultry and now to cattle, to cats, to rats, to zoo animals, every time it kind of moves to a new kind of species, it's another opportunity for the virus to mutate and potentially, end up in a strain that could be more easily transmissible between humans and more deadly. And that would set the stage for a pandemic. That's a situation that everyone would want to avoid.
Yeah. Didn't you think?
Didn't we learn anything from the pandemic a few years
from
ago?
From COVID.
Good Lord. You know,
they wanted herd immunity at that time.
Right? Yeah, right.
Now they want herd immunity with the chickens.
Yeah.
Right. Let all the chickens die, and the ones that survive, they're genetically predisposed to not get this disease. How wonderful. Well, what do we do about that?
Boy.
Wow. Mm. Come on, man. I mean, it'll only take a century to, breed enough chickens to produce the kind of eggs that we expect to get.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway.
That's RFK Jr.
It's crazy stuff, and this is Idiocracy. That's what we're doing here on the show. Mm-hmm. Also, let's talk about Derek Van Orden just for a few moments here. The headline that I saw was in the New Republican. I love this. Republican congressman compares town hall protests to Nazis. Now, he's not afraid to say these things, right? He doesn't have a lot to lose, and his voters apparently love him for just being this rude and this crazy. So why don't we pay, this is cut 203, Cal, if you could just cue that one up. This is just, this is Derek Van Orden, the real Derek Van Orden.
Oh, good.
So do you have it there?
Yeah, so Derek Van Orden, he's been doing some virtual town hall meetings.
Here's this macho guy, he's afraid of people.
Apparently, he's afraid of who's going to show up at his town meetings.
No, he's afraid to confront people. He's afraid of the blowback from his policies, the ones he endorses.
Him. Yeah. That's it.
And they're really afraid. This guy is the guy who taught other representatives how to change a tire.
Oh. Yes,
in Washington, remember?
That, it didn't go so well,
no,
did
it? Didn't. No, the car started tipping.
Okay.
It was so high on the jack that the car started moving.
Yeah, that didn't work out well.
Duh.
Yeah.
God.
All right.
All right, well, we'll take a break, and then we'll get the quote from Derek Van Orden.
In the meantime, we've got open phone lines, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And it's John Peterson, Gordy Young, filling in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn program. She'll be back on Monday. And coming up in just a little while here, we'll get Mike McCabe in the studio. He's a blogger on Substack and also an author of Miracles Along County Q. It's all coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show.
It's John and Gordy in for Maggie. She'll be back on Monday. We'll be here again tomorrow and on Friday. Tomorrow, we will welcome in attorney Jim Santel. And just a few minutes from now, we'll be talking with Mike McCabe.
Yes. So I know everybody's just waiting for this. Listen to Derek Van Orden speak his onions.
Oh,
doesn't
sure.
like those agitators,
Well, yeah.
I don't know why, but every time people protest the megas out there, the politicians, they're all paid protesters.
How
does that work?
According to him, right?
About all of them.
Yeah.
All of them. They're all paid protesters. They're all fakes. They all go out there because they're paid to protest, because who would ever protest anything the MAGAs propose? No one. Well, anyway, Derek is very angry about the outspoken individuals who show up mm-hmm. at his town hall.
Yeah.
Okay, now he doesn't hold those anymore, but this is what he said about them. All right, let's listen.
Well, it's not just Glenn. They're over disrupting Fitz's meetings, and they did a whole bunch of Republicans around the country. And I just, people have to understand, you know, I'm a little history buff, and all people associated with the communist movement and the national socialism movement used to get their way politically is they would do stuff like this, and they were called agitators. So this is a time-tested, proven method for very far left and very far right groups to get their way. And when I say very far right, I mean actual national socialists. So here's what I told everybody. We've been getting harassing calls. I just got more death threats last week, me personally. If anybody's coming to any of these meetings that we have and they act in an unlawful manner by harassing people, or if they're being disruptive, refusing to leave a venue, we will have them arrested and charged with a Class B misdemeanor. I'm not going to put up with these agitators showing disrespect and acting in an unlawful manner to their fellow Wisconsinites or my staff, period.
F-A-F-O.
Well, listen, we're not doing it. Republicans are too nice.
Okay.
Well, it's nice to know. So it's up to Derek, you know, what an agitator is, what a improper question is, what an attitude is at his town hall. It's up to him to decide whether we're acting properly in front of him or not. And if we're not, according to him, they could throw us out. And if we don't leave just for asking a simple question, then they're going to arrest us. And that's his attitude toward the American public, the Wisconsinites that voted him in. I hope you're proud. I hope you think maybe we really need to change this up a little bit.
So that's why he's gone to these town hall meetings with his phones, right? I mean, he's just doing it on the phone. Just phoning it in.
Phoning it in.
That's it.
They're afraid. They can't. Yeah. They don't want to be accountable for anything that they do. And when they are being held accountable, they think it's paid protesters. They want to arrest them.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing.
Apparently so.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we're in Idiocracy right now. We're continuing this little fest.
Yeah.
So let's get to the
the measles thing?
The measles outbreak.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about RFK Jr.
It's like in 18 states now.
Yeah. Well, the bird flu, you know, is spreading out there. So RFK Jr. also has an opinion about the measles outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Want to check this out? This is Cut 205. Let's listen to RFK Jr.
Okay.
This morning, new numbers show the measles virus spreading like wildfire. Texas, the center of the worst outbreak, now up to 223 cases, nearly double that from last month. In nearby New Mexico, 33 cases, more than triple the number from last week. Maryland and the city of Los Angeles seeing their first cases this week after residents who traveled overseas became infected and returned through Dulles and LAX airports. The super contagious virus now confirmed in at least 15 states. While the CDC says the measles vaccine is the best defense, doctors worry some families are turning to alternative treatments like cod liver oil and other supplements rich in vitamin A. While Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says the vaccine does protect children against measles.
What is the cure for measles? Cure for measles is chicken soup. And vitamin A.
The American Academy of Pediatrics says it doesn't prevent measles.
And anyone born before 1957 is likely immune from previous infection. From 1957 to 68, the vaccine was not as effective, and you should get a booster. From 68 to 1989, the guidance was only one shot, so you should probably get a second shot, too. It can't hurt you.
It really can't.
Okay.
So that is...
That's the way to go.
Yeah,
the
chicken soup.
Chicken soup and vitamin A?
Vitamin A, yeah.
Okay.
I guess he gave up on the cod liver oil for a while there, but Yeah, this is like listening to, you know, some 50s movie.
Well, I know. We're going back to the 1950s.
Good Lord.
Early 60s.
You know, remember the 6-year-old girl who passed away? Her parents were Mennonites, you know, and they don't really believe in all of these vaccines and stuff. But, you know, what they said was just impossible for me to wrap my head around. They said about their daughter, it was her time on Earth.
Okay.
They believe she's better off where she is now. It just, you know, I could never, ever think like this.
Well, it's hard with some religions like that that just don't believe in the medical treatments.
There's a way to reason around it, I guess, right? Right. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right.
Tough stuff.
It is. It's tough to take.
Yep. Phone lines, once again, are available to you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And again, Mike McCabe will be joining us here in just a few minutes. Dom Salvia coming on at 4 o'clock. He'll be back with the Text to Win contest during the 4 o'clock hour. The Text to Win Break into Spring contest on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's John and Gordy in for Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with Mike McCabe in just a few minutes.
Venturing into hour two of the Maggie Dawn Show, it's John and Gordy in the morning filling in.
That's right. Maggie's gone all this week. She'll be back on Monday. And joining us this time around is Mike McCabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mike, good to have you here once again.
Good to be with you.
Yeah. Seems like just a little while ago we saw you.
Yeah.
This morning.
This morning. Mike joins us every Wednesday morning on our morning show on WMDX in Madison. So good to have you here during the afternoon hours.
Well, thanks for having me back. I didn't wear out my welcome.
No, not at all. Plus, we're wide awake now. So,
but you know, here's the thing: if you're watching this, the video of this,
on YouTube or Facebook,
both Mike and I are both wearing white hats,
right,
with white flags on them,
white American flags.
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten mine yet. I'm going to order one now.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to that. I forgot to do that, but we're wearing them because you brought this up. The whole idea of the white flag. Why don't you explain that a little bit here?
Well, you know, I started wearing a white cap just as a personal objection to the way that we've been divided into
the
red America and blue America, red states and blue states. And, you know, it's intentional on the part of the ruling class. They want people at each other's throats. They want people who have an awful lot in common to see each other as enemies. So they have all these different dividing lines that they try to use to get people pitted against each other. And and you know, our colors are red, white, and blue. You know, the American flag is red, white, and blue. And yet red and blue have been turned into symbols of division and polarization. And so I just decided to claim the unused color on the American flag and say, hey, you know, let's you know, I'm going to be a white cap now.
So, you know, the white color includes all colors.
Yeah, or none.
Or none.
I don't know which
kind
it is.
Neutral.
I don't know which it is.
Yeah,
but you know, I just I just figured, and yeah, the flag on my cap is actually all white as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's just a personal objection to the way that red and blue have become symbols of division
right. In
our society. And you know, it's all deliberate. There are people, working class people, who have an awful lot in common, but they've been told that there are all these reasons why they should hate other working class people, or why they should fear other working class people. And just the whole idea of red America and blue America, you know, your love of country has given way to hatred of the other America. Well, everybody's thinking, you know, I'm in one America and then I hate the other America, and that's messed up, man. That's messed up.
The urban and rural divide is basically what's going on here, and they've really sold it. It's happened.
You know, they divide us by race, they divide us by gender, they divide us by where we live, rural versus urban. They divide us on the basis of whether we've been to college or whether we haven't.
Yeah.
They find all these different ways to say you really should hate that other American.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so if I'm the only one, and I'm glad to see that somebody's joined me, John, but if I'm the only one to wear the white cap, I'll keep wearing it.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's also an expression of optimism that we can get beyond this. We don't have to allow ourselves to be herded into one America or the other. I have the great benefit of having grown up on a farm, but also having lived in a city. So I've kind of straddled that rural urban divide. I've had a foot in both of those worlds, and it just astonishes me, but also saddens me about how rural people both fear and dislike cities, mm-hmm. and city folk both fear and dislike small towns.
Mm-hmm.
And man, you know, we got way more in common than we've got differences. If we're willing to really look about what city life is like and what small town life is like.
Mike, growing up in rural Wisconsin, is that what got you interested in politics in the first place? A little bit about your background here for our statewide audience.
Well, you know, I grew up in a dairy farming family.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is you mentioned there's this rural-urban divide, and we think of rural America as red America, and we think of blue America being in the cities.
City, yeah.
But where I grew up, in Clark County, Wisconsin, about halfway between Eau Claire and Wausau, outside of a little town named Curtis, mm-hmm. which was barely 150 people when I lived on a farm outside of that town, that area was represented at that time when I was young by Democrats. The congressman for the area was a Democrat. The state senator was a Democrat. The state assemblyman was a Democrat. And today, that area is bright red. It's voting entirely Republican. But it'll flip back at some point down the road. But for now, it's seen as red America. But that area was electing Democrats when I was young.
Yeah.
And a lot of the divisions that have been thrown at us, whether it's abortion or guns or whatever, you know, people were just as fond of hunting and just as fond of guns mm-hmm. back when I was young. It was hunting country. Mm-hmm. And yet Democrats were being elected to the legislature and to Congress by those voters. And, you know, and people were socially conservative back then. I don't think they were big on abortion. People today in those areas are much more open to gay marriage and gay families than they were back when I was young. But they were voting for Democrats back then, and today they're voting for Republicans, even though they've become more liberal mm-hmm. when it comes to the issue of things like gay marriage. And so it's just bizarre how we've been taught to see each other as enemies. And
yeah.
and I just have a background that just led me to think, wow, this is all really nuts.
Well, you know, I suppose this may come as a surprise for a lot of people who listen to me, but I think of myself as apolitical. I think of what's the best idea, what's the best way to do something, what's the cheapest way to do it, which is the best way to do it. That's how I look at everything, the big picture. I don't like this political thing that we have to go through here. I do criticize megas, sure, but, you know, it's because they are doing unusual things, things that aren't benefiting everybody or thinking about everybody, and how we could all benefit from the same darn thing.
Exactly. You know, in a country as wealthy and as prosperous as America is, nobody should get sick and go bankrupt.
Exactly.
Simply because they get sick.
Yeah.
Yet we allow that to happen. We have bankruptcies all across this nation because people got sick and can't afford care. And nobody should put in an honest day's work and still be poor.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Nobody putting in an honest day's work should be left poor. And yet, here's an amazing statistic. It takes 80 hours of work a week to keep yourself above poverty if you're working for the minimum wage.
Yeah, it's crazy.
80. You got to have two full-time jobs. If you're making the minimum wage, you got to have two full-time jobs to keep yourself above the poverty line. And that shouldn't be in America. That shouldn't be in rural America. Yeah. It shouldn't be the case in urban America. It just shouldn't be. But because we've got that in common, mm-hmm. the working people should feel like they won't be poor if they put in an honest day's work, and they won't go bankrupt if they get sick. They say, well, let's talk about abortion, or let's talk about guns, or the all the immigrant bashing and to talk about trans people and everything else. It's all to keep people from uniting around a message that this country should be a place where you work and you aren't poor, where you can get sick without going bankrupt.
Right.
We're talking with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can do that. Call us at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. When we had you on the show this morning, we were talking about your latest Substack column about Nero fiddling while Rome was burning. Can we touch on that again? What the theme of that blog was?
Well, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, Rome had an emperor, Nero, who lived extravagantly and self-indulgently. He was very musically inclined, and so he was just a megalomaniac, and he put on these grand displays of his artistic prowess for the masses to enjoy, and people were suffering, and he was taxing the hell out of people living outside of Rome so that he could pay for gifts for those he favored. He was corrupt, he was cruel, he was a brutal tyrant. And people ended up getting sick of him and ended up deciding they'd had enough. But before that happened, Rome actually caught fire and burned for 9 days. And this guy is putting on these displays of his ability to play the violin.
Yeah.
And that's why it's always said, he fiddled while Rome burned.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually people got wise to it all. They rose up. The Roman Senate ended up sentencing him to death. He fled Rome, went out to a suburban villa, and took his own life, stabbed himself in the throat, and killed himself. And isn't that the way it goes with the ruling class? They enrich themselves. They use and abuse people to live an extravagant lifestyle, to enrich themselves, and they don't look out for the common good. Until people can see through it all. And I think that's what has to happen here. We got to see through what the ruling class is doing to working class people. Just trying to divide us and conquer us, trying to distract us, get us to look at all these things that are going on around us and lose sight of the fact that in this country, we're wealthy enough to make sure that if you put on an honest day's work, you won't be poor. And if you happen to fall ill, you won't go bankrupt. That's the goal we should have right here in this country. And they're deathly afraid of people uniting around ideas like that. So they distract and they demonize other people, and they try to convince us that that other working people are enemies of ours.
There's a bit of a comparison here, with Nero and Trump.
Oh, man.
And we're looking at wildfires as opposed to, Rome burning at this point. And not only that, but they're also experimenting with the idea of getting rid of FEMA. So when these disasters happen, there's no one there to help or back them up.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And there again is part of my upbringing. I'm actually old enough where I took part in two barn raisings. Mm. So one time a farmer lost a barn to a fire, and another time it was a tornado that wiped out a barn, and the entire community would come together and build these people a new barn. Mm-hmm. And I took part in two of them. Mm. And dozens of people, probably close to 100 people, would show up. Some would bring food, some would bring equipment or tools or whatever. And a barn got built in a day.
That's impossible to think of.
I saw with my own eyes barns built in a day.
Where did I get the beams for that, Mike?
They bring them in.
And people brought in the lumber and everything. And some people, you know, their job was to build all the rafters out. And some people were making food. And some people were just carrying nuts and bolts and nails and hammers. Everybody had a task. Mm. People worked together. And people who had disaster had struck them, they got themselves a new barn built. There was some finishing work that had to be done. Shingles had to be put on the roof, you know, the next day. But that whole structure went up in a day. It was an amazing thing to watch people coming together and doing that for each other.
Was there somebody in charge of the grill? that would be my job.
Everybody had a job.
Yeah, thank you.
And I was a teenager at the time.
Yeah, what did you do?
And I mostly brought...
You're a gopher.
Tool. I was a gopher. Yeah. And I did man some ropes and pulleys and help lift some rafters into place. But for the most part, I was a gopher because I was just a kid.
We've got more of Mike McCabe in just a moment. We'll take a break here.
Yeah, stay with us. Phone lines are still open. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back with Mike McCabe on the Civic Media Radio Network on the Maggie Dawn Show with John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Terrific if you like eating leftovers.
Leftovers?
Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
Eat those leftovers!
Funeral leftovers.
Leftovers. Enjoy.
We got a few leftovers here.
That's right. Some odds and ends, some tidbits. Back with Mike McCabe on the Maggie Dawn Show. John and Gordy filling in here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right. I want to bring up the idea of the blue-collar worker. You know, we've been accused, Democrats have been accused of losing the blue-collar worker. And you know, it irritates the hell out of me. This whole idea that the blue-collar workers don't actually like Democrats anymore or progressives or liberals, it bothers me a hell of a lot because I grew up in Milwaukee. I had so many blue-collar jobs, I can't count how many I had. You know, I was putting gas pipes on the sides of roads during the summer. It was my summer job. My dad worked for the gas company. He got me that job. I worked third shift, two third shift jobs in major factories in Milwaukee and New Berlin and Waukesha. And I was a union member. I didn't even know it at the time. But I had all these menial jobs, you know, at Dutchland Dairy. I don't know if you remember that. But all these restaurants, all these places, Big Boy, cook there, all these blue-collar jobs, and they act like I'm not a blue-collar worker, that I'm some kind of lazy, no-good liberal. It bothers me. I don't let it. I don't talk about it very often. I don't bring it up in conversations, but you know, I have to put up with that. I hate the way they attack Democrats for giving up on the blue-collar worker. We're not. We haven't given up on anybody. We just want to be a little bit more forceful. But there are a lot of people walking around out there that are blue-collar workers, and they're assumed to be lazy no-goods.
Yeah, you know, John, it's one of the reasons why I chose to start wearing the white cap, because we're told that it's you're either red America or blue America. And like I said, I grew up in an area that today is voting overwhelmingly Republican. All the representatives are Republican. But when I was young, they were electing Democrats. And so these things change. And one of the things I wrote in my most recent Substack article is that I could come pretty close to filling a high school gymnasium with farmers who are all Democrats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I could also, these are people I personally know, not theoretical farmers, but farmers I personally know could just about fill a high school gymnasium, and they're all Democrats. And I could come very close to filling that same gym with farmers I personally know who are Republicans. And so the stereotyping of crazy people, whether they're from blue collar backgrounds in the city or whether they're from the country where I'm from, where you shower at the end of the day, not at the beginning of the day. Or if you were my dad, he always said that he took a bath once a week, whether he needed it or not. Old dairy farmer.
That's great.
But they're not everybody who comes from the country or from the city is all of one mind, but we do have certain things in common as Americans. And I think we have certain things that we should work toward as Americans. And that idea, the symbol of the barn raising to me, a community coming together and helping somebody out who's fallen on hard times, to me, that's an ethic worth keeping alive in this country. And the ruling class in this nation wants to keep us as far away from that as possible because it cuts into their profits.
Yeah.
You know, and they're billionaires hoping to be trillionaires, and they're bleeding people dry. And we've got to come together to fight against that. And it starts by getting beyond the stereotypes and getting beyond these silly divisions about red America and blue America. And how about just being an American and looking out for each other.
That's why I don't bring up the fact that, you know, I've worked all these blue collar jobs. I don't want to throw it in people's faces. You know, just because I'm from the city doesn't mean that I've never worked. And I did help out on a farm for a while, and I loved it. I just absolutely loved it. And now that I'm doing the census survey, I'm going to bring it up.
Yeah.
And I talk to people, I talk to farmers, it's really enlightening to hear their stories, to hear their point of view.
Yep.
I talked to a dairy farmer, small farm, but he was a Democrat, but he had a few problems with, you know, the milk pricing or the milk supply at that point. And it's really interesting when you open up and you have a discussion with somebody out there in the country. They're really enlightened. You know, they're brilliant. They're smart people out there. They're businessmen. They run farms, my God.
Absolutely.
You know?
So, they ain't dumb.
Yeah, they are. And now they have to be technologically savvy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it. Mike, we're about to wrap up here, but I want to mention you've got your book out there, and Miracles Along County Q, and you make appearances occasionally. It's been out for a while. You appearing anywhere soon?
April 10th in Evansville. At the public library in Rock County. Then the following week, April 17th up in Eau Claire, the evening of the 17th, both our evening events. That's at Volume 1 downtown Eau Claire.
Mm-hmm.
There's an event coming up on May 10th, Saturday, May 10th, the Wisconsin Grassroots Festival. People from all over the state come together. It's a networking opportunity, organizing opportunity. People can come from rural and urban settings alike and commingle. Mm-hmm. I'll be selling books and signing books there too, and doing some emceeing as well. It's a great event.
Where is that again?
That's in McFarland, at McFarland High School outside of Madison.
Excellent. Very good. Mike McCabe, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. That's going to wrap it up for John and Gordy on the Maggie Dawn Show. Tomorrow we will have Jim Santel, attorney at law, with us here on the show. Dom Salvia is coming up next. We hope you have a great afternoon and a good evening, too. We'll talk to you next time here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Take it away.
So long.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.